Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
All right, welcome to Sleep Science Today. Your host, Andrew Kolsky, and I'm here with today's guest, Dr. Martin Moore Eade. And he is the director of the Circadian Light Research Center and actually has a new book called The Light Doctor. So, Doctor, welcome to the show.
Glad to join you, Andrew.
Thank you so much for being here. I was looking at your book, and it really intrigued me, and I mean that sincerely, because I work on so many things sleep-related, and light is so intricate and intimate and related to sleep issues. And so when I started looking through the information you had, it really was kind of right on point for the types of things that I'm interested in, and I know my clients are interested in. So can you tell us, what got you into researching light in the first place?
Well, I graduated from Guy's Hospital and Medical School and headed over the pond, actually to Toronto, to undertake a surgical residency as a first-year resident or intern. And I found myself working, as of course most people do in that situation, these 36-hour-long shifts, nonstop on your feet. You had 12 hours to rest, get some sleep, and then back in again for 36, and repeating that cycle maybe 100 plus hours a week. And I found myself walking around like a zombie. I mean, chronically sleep deprived. I was nodding off in the operating room, letting the retractor slip and having the surgeon in chief yell at me. And I was writing prescriptions I couldn't make sense of the next day. And I wasn't the only person. Everyone was stumbling around in this chronically fatigued state that, for some unbelievable reason, seemed it's almost like hazing that you put young doctors through. Mm-hmm. But one of the side effects of that I realize now today that was so essential was all of that time awake, those 36 hours awake, were under blue-rich fluorescent lighting. We didn't have LEDs in those days, but it was hospital lighting. And we now know that that's really critical. The blue-rich fluorescence, just like blue-rich LEDs, are highly disruptive to sleep and to our circadian rhythms, the body's rhythms in virtually everything besides sleep, body temperature going up and down with time of day, with cortisol peaking in the morning hours and melatonin peaking in the middle of the night. All those natural rhythms are disrupted by light. And of course, the compounding effects of light disruption and sleep disruption really is a perfect storm in terms of malfunction and malaise and eventually, over time, ill health.
Right, right. Well, you know, can we back up for a second and maybe sort of take a large overview shot? And here's what I mean. So we start off, we don't have electric light at all. Then electric light is invented. Then we start moving into different types of lights, like your fluorescence and all these different type of lightings. And then we get into cell phone screens and TV screens and all. Can you give us a benefit of how the different phases impacted our circadian rhythms and just our natural sleep, you know, process.
Well, we evolved as a human race. We evolved under a world where we're outside, outdoors all day in bright, blue-rich, and you know, sunlight, and we slept in the dark at night. And that ultimately is what we're designed for. Now, as civilization commenced, man mastered the fire and could create wood fires, and eventually could create candles. But one of the key things about those is that they have virtually no blue in them, almost zero blue, less than 1% blue content. And blue turns out to be key, as we'll talk about a little bit later.
Okay.
As light then electric lights were invented, Thomas Edison and some others around that time started inventing electric lights, incandescent bulbs. And those were designed to look a bit like candlelight because that's what they were replacing. And they have about 4% blue content, in other words. And we're talking about blue content. We say, what percent of total visible light is in the blue? But then as the drive came for energy efficiency in the 1960s and 70s, these fluorescent lights became widely adopted. And they're much more energy efficient than the old incandescents. And they contained, you know, 15% or maybe 20% blue sometimes. And then we come along with today's LEDs, and this is a relatively recent technology, mm-hmm. but it's taking a computer chip, and the most efficient way to convert electricity into light is to use a chip that emits blue light. And then you add other phosphors to it to spread out and create white light out of it. But blue is the essential component. Those may have up to 25% blue content, these LEDs. And the problem is that we've just increased the blueness of light. We've also increased the brightness of light because of the, you know, when you've got more energy efficiency and more efficient lights, you can just produce more of it. And people like junk food, like junk light because it's bright and, you know, appears attractive. We tend to use more and more of it. So we've really now dosing ourselves with light. The problem is we, at the same time, we've moved indoors. So whereas in the old farming communities, you know, where most people were agricultural occupations and only a few people were indoors, we now 90% of the time, more than 90% of the time are indoors. So we no longer see that bright, rich daylight and sunlight during the daytime. And in the evenings, we light up ourselves with these electric lights. And then even more important is we leave them on all night long. 40 to 50% of the population leaves the lights on in the bedroom at night. Staggering statistic, but leave quite significant light at night. Yeah. So now we've lost that natural day-night signal that used to keep our circadian clocks in our body, our biological rhythms, all the timing functions of the body, keep them in sync. We've lost the cue. And as a result, we drift apart, our clocks in the body drift apart from each other, our sleep is disrupted. And we've created a nightmare situation in terms of health. And there's so much chronic ill health that now results from that loss of natural day and natural dark night.
Right, right. Yeah, and I definitely want to get into that in a minute here. But I'm, you know, I was kind of baffled when I saw that in your book about the number of people that actually leave lights on at night. I didn't know that. I was kind of surprised.
Well, I was surprised too, Andrew, and I, you know, I was talking about this with my wife, and she finally admitted that when I was out of town, you know, traveling to a meeting or whatever, she left the lights on at night. I was appalled. I had no idea. And you know, people do that because they're anxious or whatever else, and, you know, but I was appalled to find it was going on with my own wife and my own home.
Wow. You know, I'm going to ask you to add in a little comment here for me because, you know, I'm thinking about this as we're talking. So many of our appliances today, even just basic things that we might have in our bedroom, have these little LED lights to let us know that they're on or something. But the number of them proliferates over time. So even if you try to make your bedroom dark, all these little appliances send out so much light. is that blue light spectrum, or can you comment just a little bit about that?
A lot of it is. I mean, people like, you know, the guys who invent these devices are, you know, they want things to look attractive, and anything that looks white or looks blue is definitely pumping out blue light. If it's a red light LED, and I use a clock in the bedroom with a red dial, so if I want to know the time, then that doesn't trigger the circadian clock, which is very sensitive, as we said, to this blue part of the spectrum. But yes, it's all different sources, and it's amazing. The Just study came out from a big study done in the UK, the Biobank study. And this is a study where they looked at 85,000 people and they put light meters on them. And they looked then at how much light they had on in the bedroom at night. And a large number of people had lights on in the bedroom. And when they did, even a small amount of light, their rate of diabetes went up 30% or 50% if the lights were really bright. So just that alone, and right, and other, it also links to breast cancer risk. It links to prostate cancer in men, obesity, heart disease. All are related to having the lights on in the bedroom at night. So it's, and the amount of light, it's staggering. It's candlelight levels of light that do it. The biggest effect is, you know, just with about a lux, 1 to 6 lux of light, which is very low. A lux is what one candle produces, you know, 1 lux essentially. So just to give you a sense of it. But yeah, that's the scale of the problem. It's even small amounts of light can cause a lot of medical harm.
Wow, wow. Yeah, that was something also that I was kind of surprised about, and I definitely want to hear more about that. So, you know, we start off talking about no electric light at all. As we evolve, we get into all these different types of lights, and now, like you say, we have these sometimes I call them really harsh, bright white LED lights that are just, for me, they're too much. But they tend to be used everywhere. So as people today are dealing with the things that they deal with on a daily basis, and they're using their cell phones and they're using their televisions and these types of things, what, before we get into the medical issues that come up, just from a sleep perspective, what is your recommendation for sleep purposes? Is it a totally dark room? Is it some light, certain types of light? What should people look to do?
Well, first of all, first word of advice is get out every morning into daylight or sunlight. Take a walk, take your dog out, whatever excuse you need to get outside, because that big dose of daylight is one of the first major determinants of sleep, and particularly morning light is most effective. So that's number one. Number two, once the sun has set, once it's evening time, make sure you have lights which have no blue in them. There are zero blue lights out there. They tend to look a bit more yellowish than the regular white light, but use zero blue lights in the evening hours. Mm-hmm. And lastly, sleep in as near darkness as you can. If you do need lights to light the route to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know, make them low to the floor and make them free of blue. They're going to look yellowish type, yellow-orange type color lights. Those are pretty safe to use. But that's the basic lighting regime.
Okay. Yeah, I actually just not too long ago discovered that on my own cell phone, for example, there's a setting that I can change for night lighting, and it does indeed change the whole screen to this yellowish tone as opposed to the normal blue tone.
And unfortunately, Andrew, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's a bit of a placebo. You know, Apple got rather concerned. They started seeing ads saying, you know, things like the iPhone makes you fat. You know, in other words, because of increased obesity of people who get blue light at night. The problem is they change the color temperature of the light, but not the blue content substantially. And so the technology now exists. In fact, I was involved in the invention and the patenting and the licensing of this technology out. The technology now exists to make blue-free light, but those iPhones are not blue-free even in that yellowish mode. So it's we're in a world, by the way, of a lot of misinformation, even from the government, and misleading regulations. I mean, why have they banned the incandescent light bulb that's low in blue? Why have they banned halogen lights, right, that are low in blue? It's because they're so-called less energy efficient than the LEDs. The trouble is, how do they measure energy efficiency? They're not looking at the healthy parts of light. They're only looking at a measure that's called lumens. It's lumens per watt. Watt is electricity. Lumens is brightness of light. But those lumens is only the yellow and green parts of light that create the measure lumens. So all we're measuring is the brightness, the blue, the yellow and green brightness of the light. We're not measuring the blue, which is essential to the health of your circadian clocks. And they're not measuring the red, which is essential for the healing powers on the skin and on your hair and everything else of light. So it's an unhealthy measure they're trying to maximize. And when they do that, they end up banning lights that are healthy lights and giving you lights that are unhealthy. So it's a big regulatory headache right now. The regulators and the engineers don't understand the biomedicine, don't understand the science, and are purely using a very simplified mechanism. So that's a big problem. And the UK is one of the strictest regimens of lumens per watt. They're cranking up the levels. You know, the regular old incandescent light bulb might do 10 lumens per watt. They're cranking it up now to 130, 135 maybe. I know that they're already at 120 lumens per watt. That makes it almost the only thing you're going to be able to buy on the shelves are blue-rich LED lights, because they're the only things that can meet the energy standards.
Wow. Well, let me stop you there for a second, because I got a break for a commercial. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the health risks in more detail. So we'll be back in just a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, you're listening to Sleep Science Today with Dr. Martin Eid, and we're talking about light and blue light in particular and its impact on our body's health and sleep. So, Dr. Eid, tell us more now about the blue light and how it impacts us from a health perspective. You talked a little bit about it, but now I'd really like to kind of dive into that.
Well, back in the 1980s, when I was a professor at Harvard Medical School, we identified where the circadian clock, the master circadian clock, was in the human brain. It's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN. And we were able to identify. We also showed, that because people didn't believe that humans were synchronized by light, we also proved that it was synchronized by light. But at that time, we didn't know that it was actually only one narrow part of the light spectrum that was actually responsible for synchronizing circadian rhythms. Those discoveries started about 20 years ago in the early 2000s, when it was identified there was a photopigment in the eye called melanopsin. It sits in certain cells that are called retinal ganglion cells, which pass a message directly back to that SCN master clock in the brain and special nerve bundle. And what it was first shown is that it was blue is the strongest effect. And since then, we've been able to show that actually under normal, well-lit conditions we live in today, the eye is in a fully light-adapted state. It's actually a rather narrow band of blue that peaks around 418 nanometers in the light spectrum. So the light spectrum, the rainbow colors that are bedded in white light, white light is just an optical illusion. It's something in the brain. But what's actually coming to us are violet, blues, greens, yellows, oranges, and reds, wavelengths. But a narrow band in the blue, around 480 nanometer, is responsible for the key signal. So the human brain, and in fact all the way through the animal species and plants, it's that signal that is telling us whether it's day. So if we see blue, it's daytime according to our circadian clocks. If we see no blue, it's nighttime. And and the origin of that is actually fascinating. When they did the first studies looking down in the ocean and dropping a spectrophotometer to see how the sun penetrated the ocean, they found all the colors of the rainbow absorbed by seawater except for 480 nanometer blue light, which penetrates the ocean depths. It's blue way down there and no other color. And that's where life began. So from the very beginning origins of life, blue was day and no blue was night. And we've kept that all the way through evolution. It happens to be a sky blue color. That's the precise wavelengths that we do. But that's the signal that tells our clocks whether it's day or night. So controlling blue is so important. And that's why the misuse and misdesign of our LED lights is so egregious, a harmful effect. We've got an environmental pollutant. But one of the good things is very insidious environmental pollutant, this blue light. But it's so easy to fix. I mean, most of the environmental pollutants like the PFAS forever chemicals or microplastics in the oceans are horrendous problems to clean up. Right. But we can clean this one up easily just by change the light bulb. That's all you need to do.
So I know you said that you had come up with technology to be able to do that and to address that. But before we even get into that, can you share a little bit more about, so I think you said during the day for natural light, the natural blue light is a good thing for us during the daytime. During the night, when we start to get to this artificial light and we've got that blue light going on, it can actually lead to medical problems for us. I think in your book, you talk about breast cancer and some other issues. Can you share with us what's going on there?
Well, first of all, women who never have seen electric light don't get breast cancer or rarely get breast cancer. And you might say, well, who are those women? Well, number one, women before electric light was invented, breast cancer was very rare. Mm-hmm. Number two, women who live in parts of the world that don't yet have electricity. They only have 20 cases of breast cancer per 100,000 women a year. But in the electrified Western Europe and North America, we have 100, 120 cases. In other words, 5 to 6 times more cases of breast cancer in people who are exposed to electric light. And thirdly, and I think this is the most fascinating part of it, is women who were blind from an early age also rarely get breast cancer. And that rules out the argument, well, it's probably in Africa, it's a different chemical, they don't have so many chemicals or whatever else it is. But those women are living in westernized society. The only difference is they don't have vision and they do it from an early age. They don't get breast cancer. So that tells us that probably up to half or more of breast cancer cases are actually related to this blue-rich light pollution, and it's getting worse and worse. And by the way, if you look at the statistics around the world, breast cancer in young women is climbing at 4% a year. Huge ramp up.
Wow.
It's also true for colorectal cancer. It's true for prostate cancer is also increasing. These light-sensitive cancers are growing because we're increasing the blueness of light and we're increasing the brightness of light, and we're just polluting ourselves into a huge health crisis. Now, this is not just breast cancer. It's prostate cancer. It is obesity. It is diabetes. When you say obesity, how could that be? Well, interestingly, in the evening and night hours, the blue in light actually makes you hungry. It makes you want a snack. So when we study people who are under blue-rich light at night, we find they eat twice as many snacks on the night shift if they're working nights as the people who are under lights that don't have any blue in them. They're twice as hungry. And so, and it also changes our metabolism at the same time. And the diabetic effect is we can render people pre-diabetic by the glucose tolerance test. That's the standard test where you drink sugar water and they measure your, how much your glucose climbs and your insulin level climbs and comes down again. You can render people pre-diabetic just by putting them under LED lights just for one night.
Wow. So just for one night.
It's a very, very sensitive problem. And it's a, so that's an immediate problem. The breast cancer takes 5 or more years to develop. And we know why, because what we're doing is shutting off the melatonin, which is produced in the pineal, which suppresses breast cancer growth. But light, blue rich light shuts that off, so no longer you have the body's natural protection, so taking them away.
Wow. So that, you know, raises an interesting question then, which is, all right, so I can be in control of lighting in my home because I can choose which light bulbs to change and those types of things. But obviously, if I'm out at work, if I'm going to the store, if I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to get whatever I get. What is the best thing that someone like me could do for myself, given the realities of life today?
Well, one of the things I did is I wrote a book, The Light Doctor, as we discussed. And mm-hmm. that actually, one of the purposes of the book is to arm people with the evidence that you can hand and give to anybody. So if you're having a discussion in your workplace, you work in a hospital, a nursing home, you work in a factory, you work in an office, and you work into the evening hours, get the book and give it to your boss, give it to the person whoever's deciding about lights, because this will give you the basic information. So education is absolutely key. You've got to get the word out. The problem is this science is so well developed. The scientists know about it. By the way, 30,000 scientists have contributed as authors to the papers in this science. It's a huge body of people. They all know. I did a survey of them recently where, you know, we came up with a general consensus, all these scientists, that there should not be blue rich light at night. That should, in fact, should be warning labels on LED lights. But what can you do about it otherwise? Well, there are some other solutions because you don't control lights in spaces you don't control.
Right.
One is use of blue blocking glasses. That is a solution. But again, buyer beware. Many blue blocking glasses block the wrong blue. They're totally useless. So many of the glasses that you add blue tinting when you go to the optician and they add another $200 or whatever many pounds they charge in England for these things, they actually do no good at all because they're not blocking the blue that is the problem. When you have glasses that are effective, and by the way, you don't want to block the blue during the day. You want the blue light during the day. You want to block it in the evening hours. So if you're out in a store, out in a, looking at your computer in the evening hours, one solution is to wear blue blocking glasses. They're going to look somewhat yellow-orangey in color. That will shut out, cut off that harmful part of the blue.
So if it's a very specific band of the blue wavelength that you're saying that is important for that, how would somebody know which glasses to buy if they wanted to buy a pair?
Well, you need to ask for, and of course, the manufacturers aren't totally forthcoming. What the actual spectral transmission is of the light. What light are they blocking? Some do it, some don't. One of the things I'm doing, I have a newsletter on Substack where I keep people updated, and also my book, I give a link to a site called circadianlight.org to provide more information. But basically, we need to publish the spectrum of what's there. For example, I can tell you the Prevencia glasses, which are Essilor Luxottica produces, the biggest powerful and almost a monopoly of the people who produce eyewear, their blue is blocking entirely the wrong blue. That's the most common one. Yes, I'm trying to create information and evidence of where to go, what lights to actually pick, glasses to pick that actually block the correct blue. When you do block that blue, some interesting things happen. Recent study done by Harvard, the McLean Hospital, big psychiatric hospital here, they did a study in teenage high school students. And what they did is they equipped them with blue blocking glasses in the evening. And they gave them actually also a tablet that produced blue light in the morning, right? So when they did that, they blocked the blue in the evening, produced the blue in the morning. These kids slept better, everything else. But well, guess what? Their math scores went up of the students who did this. So, and they did a lot of fancy MRI studies of the brain, and the connectivity in the brain improved. But, you know, there's a tangible result, math scores going up in high school students. Something of interest to parents and students alike.
Yeah, well, I think any parent will, you know, give you the complaints about their kids staying up playing video games in the dark room, and that's a whole other issue. But before we go into that, let me stop for another commercial break, and we'll come right back and pick up where we left off.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back on Sleep Science Today with Dr. Martin Moore-Eade. We're talking about light. Specifically, we've been talking about blue light. So, you know, you mentioned just before the break that you had a website, circadianlight.org. So is that a place that people could go to get basic information about the blue blocking glasses, maybe light bulbs, things that they would need to be able to start addressing the blue light problem for themselves?
Yes, I set that up as just a resource, so to go beyond the book update the information and give links. There are, for example, not only light bulbs and light fixtures coming out, and some are available already, which automatically give you blue during the day and remove the blue during the evening hours. But there are also computer screens being developed that do the same thing. So basically, you can have a regular-looking computer screen. It looks the same, but in the evening hours, it just automatically cancels out all the blue, that particular blue band, out of the spectrum. So for anybody who wants to keep up to date with that, and that I'm trying to keep the information up to date on that site, and provide information for people who want to be the first to be able to access those new developments.
So basically then today, if I were to personally go out to the store to buy new light bulbs today, is there anything that I could look for today that would help me identify the lights that don't have the blue spectrum that you're talking about that I could use at night?
Well, I mean, for example, I give you an example. There are others, but I give you an example of one is Amazon, you know, has a variety for example, light bulbs. But if you look at for Sora, Soraa, and Zero Blue, you'll find access to light bulbs there. Now, they're more expensive, right? Because cheap junk light is really cheap these days, right? Mm-hmm. So you can buy, you can go to the store and your big box store and buy really cheap and, quite frankly, health-harming electric LED light bulbs. And given, how much people spend deal with obesity and diabetes, these new drugs that are out here, Ozempic and the others, they're spending hundreds of dollars, a month on those types of drugs and treatments just to deal with the diabetes, much simpler to pay, you know, a bit more for a light bulb that fixes the problem. So right. That's one type. There are other much more yellow. One of the advantages of the Sora one, that was the technology I invented to be, you know, open about it. And, you know, I do declare I have some very minor interest in it still. I licensed it. Mm-hmm. But that was light that's relatively whiter because it uses violet instead of blue to make the light white. You can get quite yellow and orange and even red bulbs that will do the same thing. So there are different alternatives out there in the marketplace. Again, my book sort of describes the different ways, the light doctor describes different ways you can find different types of light bulbs. So that's one of the solutions, equipping your home, particularly the bedroom areas and the areas you spend in the evening, you know, with lights that are effectively a zero blue. Mm-hmm. So that's one essential thing.
Okay. So you know, you mentioned earlier that the particular harmful blue light spectrum, even if you have the lights that look more yellowish and things today, they still might have that spectrum that is the harmful spectrum. So we can think that we're looking at a calmer or a yellower light, but maybe we're not really having any positive impact if we right. use the wrong
thing. You look at lights, if they advertise in the house as having no blue, then you're probably okay. That's really what you want, zero blue, no blue, blue free, you know, etc. But the standard, you know, how lights are sold are by something called CCT, which is coordinated color temperature. Mm-hmm. And people look at the CCT and they say, well, a really harsh, bright, what they seem to put in car headlamps these days, these terrible bluish, harsh lights. They're up in 5,000-6,000 Kelvin is a measure. Then you can bring them down to 2,700 Kelvin and they look yellowish and people claim they're, you know, less harmful. The problem is there's still 8% blue in those. You've got to get down to the really yellow lights, which are around 1,900, less than 2,000 Kelvin, to really remove most of the blue. So you have to be careful. You know, there's a lot of placebo effects out there. But if the light is less than 2,000 Kelvin, you're probably pretty good on the CCT range.
Right.
Another metric to look for.
So then let me ask this. So, all right, it makes sense that in the nighttime, if it's dark outside, then inside I want to have lights that don't have that blue spectrum because right. I want to be able to prime my body for sleep. Then you also talk about in the day, it's important to be out in the natural daylight to get the blue light, again, for our circadian rhythms and regulating all of the parts of our body. So what about the person who says, well, if these lights that we have today have the blue spectrum in it, the same one that I would get if I went out in the sunlight, what do I need to theoretically go outside for? Couldn't I just turn my lights on?
Because the light levels we live inside are so much dimmer than the natural world. So basically, most people inside their homes and even their offices might have not much more than about 300 lux of light. That's the measure of brightness of light, 300 lux. Mm-hmm. Even a cloudy day outside is 10,000 lux. That's a really overcast cloudy day. A bright sunny blue sky day is 50,000 to 100,000 lux. That's the amount of brightness. So we living in essentially twilight levels of light. And, you know, now, if you're really close to a window and the window does not, you know, have too much of the filters in it that take out blue light, that can make a difference. In fact, interesting studies from office complexes showing the guy with the office near the window, that's typically the executive, right, with the window office, mm-hmm. Gets way more light and sleeps much longer at night than the guy in the cubicle inside who only gets artificial light and dim artificial light. So, yeah, being near windows and supplementing it with blue-rich lights, light sources is helpful. But getting outside, it really gives you a big dose, and that's really why it's so important. And people who get outside more each day not only are healthier, but they actually live years longer. That's the other fascinating information that's come out of this. Great study done in Sweden. There have been a number of others. 29,000 Swedish women They studied how much time did they spend outdoors versus indoors. Right. And they were actually studying something quite different. The best science is always when someone's studying entirely something different. They were studying the incidence of skin cancers and melanomas and so forth. And they were worried about how much outdoors more would be a problem. Well, the people who spent more time outdoors did get more skin cancers, but they all lived much longer than the people who stayed indoors, didn't get skin cancer so much, but died much sooner. Just showing the potency of this outdoor light in terms of improving health. And many other studies now have backed up this finding.
You know, that's really interesting, and that raised the question for me. So when we're outside, obviously, you know, our eyes are perceiving the light, but the light is also coming into our skin, you know, the sun, and we talk about sunburn and those types of things. So for positive health effects, for circadian rhythm, is it a matter of us visually seeing the light spectrum, or is the light having an impact on our body somehow? And second part of the question is, does sunscreen impact that in any way, positive or negative?
Well, these are great questions, because I think the whole focus on people being outside or not outside has all been a vitamin D discussion up to recently. And actually, vitamin D, you can get supplements of vitamin D. Most people have adequate vitamin D, and most studies of vitamin D don't show improved health because people have enough vitamin D already. There are people who are deficient. But in fact, this effect is not a skin effect. This is an eye effect. So you can be fully clothed and outside. I can be wrapped up, you know, because it's a rainy day, you know, so very little is exposed except for my eyes, and get the full benefit. So this is an eye effect. So clearly, you know, putting sunscreens on. Now, we're learning more and more these days about the benefits of light on the skin and, you know, what's released chemically in the body as a result of that. There are other things going on. But clearly, in terms of the circadian rhythms, it's really that critical light, bright light coming into the eyes, that's the powerful signal that drives our clocks, that keeps us in sync with the rotation of the earth, and it keeps us really in sync with the natural world. And when we get out of sync with the natural world, that's when all these diseases of our modern civilizations occur. That's when the obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancers occur, when we get out of sync with the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. So these are diseases of the modern era, of us living indoors in twilight levels of light, dosing ourselves with blue light, not only in the evenings, but often all night long. That's what we're doing to ourselves. And as I say, it's so addressable that there's no excuse why we should be continuing to do this and create this huge health burden for ourselves and for the National Health Service, for example, has got a lot of excess illness that would go away if people just dealt with the light regimen first.
Right, right. So we've got about 30 seconds left here. So can you tell us, for the average person, you know, I know you talked about legislative issues and those types of things. What is when a person goes to their doctor, their primary care physician, is their primary care physician going to even know about this issue? Or is it the patient's responsibility at this point to educate them?
I think the patient who hears this message needs to be educated, because it's amazing, as I say, the scientists know about it, the science is well done. The doctors don't know about it, the general media doesn't know about it. I've written this book, The Light Doctor, for that very purpose. In fact, you know, get a copy for your doctor. It's an education mission right now, because the regulators don't understand it and they're harming us. The doctors are putting us in hospitals with harmful blue-rich LED lights day and night. They don't understand it. So it's very much, though, the science is so well developed now and so solidly based. This is something that's time to implement, and everyone can be a message. In fact, I urge all your listeners to join our campaign for healthy lighting.
Great. Well, I really appreciate that. We're going to make a link available to your book as well, The Light Doctor by Dr. Martin Ede, E-D-E. And, you know, speak to your doctor about these situations so that you can, you know, do some simple things to avoid some pretty devastating health impacts that you really don't need to make yourself subjected to. So, Doctor, thank you so much for your research. Thank you for your time coming to the radio show and educating our audience. And we will do our best to continue to spread the word. And it really is a fascinating book. And I encourage everybody to get a copy and read it because I really, truly believe in it. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been a delight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.